You're listening to a podcast by Abide Church and Pastor Dan DeBell in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We pray this podcast helps you live, love, and look more like Jesus this week. Enjoy the message.
If you brought your Bible, go to Psalm 103. Go to Psalm 103. We're in a series called Family Benefits. Everybody say family benefits. Last week we talked about, begin this series, and we talked about how there is benefits available to you and me when we are a child of God. When you become a part of God's family, there are benefits available. We talked about how it would be foolish if you took a new job and they offered you a company vehicle with a company gas card because you had to travel a lot and you were going to go places that you didn't know you had to go. We talked about how it would be foolish for you to turn down the company car to say, well, I got a really nice bicycle at home. I'm going to use that to travel to across the country into these other states to do this job that you're asking me to do. That would be foolish, right? We can agree on that. I think many times, though, that's what happens in the spiritual realm. God's given us benefits, and many times we're walking through this life not accessing all of the benefits that God has for us. So, in Psalm 103, it lists five benefits. We're going to spend 5 weeks talking about these things in Psalm 103. And let me read the first three verses here. Psalm 103, it says this: bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget. Don't forget. Who forgives all. Everybody say all. Say it like you mean it. All. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all. Everybody say all. All your diseases. You're going to hear that word all a lot today as we go through scripture, and it's really important to make note of that. You're going to see that word all a lot. Here's a reminder before I get into today's topic. We're studying Psalm 103, but we're not pursuing the benefits of Psalm 103. We're pursuing the giver of the benefits. If we pursue the benefits, we're getting off. And we'll go down a rabbit trail and we'll pursue things that God has gifted us. But God's ultimate desire is that we would pursue him above all. And in doing so, walk in close relationship with him where he can then say, this is what you have access to. But let us not get confused and say, well, I'm just going to pursue healing. And that's all I want is I'm looking for healing, or I'm looking for forgiveness, or I'm looking for redemption, whatever it might be. I'm just going to pursue those things. That's not God's desire. God's desire is that you would always pursue him first above anything else. He is first. He's our ultimate pursuit, but he's so good that he says, when you pursue me, I have some benefits that I want to give you. How good is our God? That's how good. He's got good things for you. So here's what we're going to look at. Last week, we talked about forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of all iniquities, and it says that he heals all our diseases. Today, the topic is simply the statement, I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. I think if we're being honest, though, if we're looking at Psalm 103, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, if you're being honest, it's easier to believe the first part of that verse than the second. Can we be real? It's easier to have my faith to know that God's grace, by his grace, he forgives me. But I think the majority of us in here know probably someone who has had health problems in their life. Maybe you. Maybe you know somebody who has died prematurely, even as a believer. So sometimes it's easier to believe half of the verse, but not the other half. Today, my prayer is this, that no matter what you've been through, what you're going through, that I'm going to explain through four strategic questions, I'm going to explain to you and show you, reveal to you from God's word, why this verse, so that verse in Psalm 103, verse 3, why it is still true. That he forgives all your sins, your iniquities, and he heals all of your diseases. I'm going to show you how that's true no matter what you've been through. Does that sound okay? We're going to see it from God's word today. But here's the thing. Many times we look at that verse and we think, well, I just don't know if healing is for today. Like God healed all through the Old Testament. The majority of Jesus' ministry was healing. He healed in the first church in the book of Acts. And then without explanation, he stopped and it ceased to continue. What's crazy to think that way is that scripture shows us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of his names is the Lord who heals you. It's actually part of his name. He's identified himself as a healer. So we're going to debunk some of these misconceptions here. So let me just get into it. The question number one is this. Where does sickness come from? This is a crucial question for us to understand if I'm going to understand God's will for us. If I'm going to understand the truth behind Psalm 103, where does sickness come from? What is the source of sickness? This is going to help me identify, is it God's will to heal people? Right? How many of you thought that before? You can raise your hand. Like, how many of you thought, is it God's will for me to be healed? Is it God's will for that so-and-so to be healed? Right? We wrestle with these big questions, and they're big questions. They're tough questions. But if I don't understand where the source, where is sickness coming from in the first place, I'm going to struggle to understand what God's will is for me. If I believe God is the source of sickness, then I'll never believe it's God's will to heal. All right, let me make it a little more clear. If I don't believe it's God's will to heal, how can I ever pray in faith for healing like Scripture commands me to? Well, if I don't know if it's God's will to heal, but Scripture says pray for healing, the prayer of faith will raise you up from your sick bed, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Well, how do I comprehend that in my mind? If I don't understand where sickness is coming from and what God's will is for it. Look at Acts 10:38. This is Peter talking. He says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Everyone say power. Power. Who went about doing good and healing all. Everybody say all. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There you see the word all once again. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This is how Peter chooses to define the life of Jesus in this sentence right here, this verse. This is how we define, why? Because healing was a defining characteristic of the life of Jesus. Many times we think that Jesus went about healing to prove his divinity, to prove that he was God. But I actually don't see that in Scripture. He went about healing. What I do see in Scripture is that he had compassion. In the book of Psalms, it talks about how he's full of compassion. In the New Testament, in his life, it says he was moved with compassion. See, we think Jesus went around just dropping these trump cards, right? Like, look, I'm God. Look what I just did. And that really wasn't his motivation, was to, gotcha, look, I am the Son of God. That wasn't it. His main motivation was that he had compassion on people. How many of us can relate to that, right? When you see somebody who's dealing with an illness, with a sickness, and you have compassion on them, where does that come from? It's coming from the deepest part of who you are. And if you're a believer, it's coming from the Holy Spirit saying, I have compassion on them. And you're moved sometimes to pray for them or to do something to help their family, but you're moved with compassion. It was the defining characteristic of the life of Jesus. Healing isn't just what Jesus does or did. Healing is who he is. It's not just what he did, it's who he is. And a strategic verbiage here says oppress. That means to exercise harsh control over or to use one's power or authority against someone. That's oppressed. When they're oppressed, well, that word means to exercise harsh control over someone. So what does this show us? This begins to reveal to us that the devil is the source of sickness. Now, we live in a fallen world. So though he may not be personally attacking you with sickness, however, where did it originate from? When Adam and Eve sinned back in the garden, they invited darkness into this world to make it a corrupt world, an evil world, and brought sin and all kinds of things that come with sin, including sickness, into this world. Devil is the source of sickness. Think about it this way. If God is the source of sickness, Jesus would have gone about undoing the will of God in his ministry. Right? There's no record in Scripture of Jesus saying to one person who's basically dying of a skin disease called leprosy, there's no record of him looking at one leper and saying, hey, your faith has made you well. Go and cleanse and see the priest and be cleansed. And then in the same breath, turning to another leper and saying, you know what? You missed it by this much. You know what? God is really going to build your faith through this. And I know this disease is going to kill you in the most awful way, but he's really going to build your faith. So, hey, just go and suffer for Jesus. There's no record of that. But we say that. We say that. But in Scripture, we don't see that. So you see how asking these tough questions is really important. Because I got to ask these questions to understand, okay, where does sickness come from? And according to Scripture, what do we see? And in John 6:38, it says this. It says, "For I have come down," this is Jesus speaking, "for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will." So here's what's encouraging. Everything Jesus says, everything Jesus does is the perfect will of God. He commanded his disciples to then pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? On earth as it is in heaven. All right, so then we can pray for us not to have perfect little lives, but Lord, that heaven would be experienced in our life here. If I'm going to pray that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven, in my life as it is in heaven, well, I got to remind myself, there's no sickness in heaven according to Scripture. There's no disease in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. There's no heartbreak in heaven. Why? It's a perfect atmosphere, if you want to call it that way. It's a perfect environment. Why? We're in the, what is heaven? It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. And where the presence of God is, in his purest atmosphere of being in his presence, which is heaven, there is no pain and there is no darkness, according to Scripture. There is no shadows even or shifting. There is none. It is all light, and he's the source of all light and all goodness. So here's the good thing. I can pray then for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and I can pray for healing and know I'm not contradicting God's will. Psalm 103, what does it say? He heals. He heals all your diseases. You guys with me so far? So where's the source? Jesus went about not undoing the will of God. He went about going to war against the enemy. Question number two then leads us to this. Why is there still sickness then? Right? Okay. Tough question number two. Why is there still sickness? Especially if I'm a believer. Why do I still get sick sometimes? Why am I still battling stuff sometimes? Why am I still sick right now? Right? If God heals, if it's his will to heal, then why am I not healed? Anybody ever thought that before? We can be honest. Okay, it's okay to be honest in church. Why am I not healed? Why is my spouse not healed? If it's God's will to heal, why did my spouse die? Why did my parent die? If it's God's will to heal and heals all my diseases, why did our unborn baby die? Why did my child die? So good questions, and those are tough questions. We can find answers in Scripture. There's a pattern in Scripture where forgiveness and healing are often in the same verse. And it's strategic from the Holy Spirit because healing is a part of the salvation package. It's a part of the atonement that Jesus paid for. So let's look at some of those scriptures here, and I'll kind of explain what's going on. Isaiah 53, verse 5. We read this last week, but here it is again. It says, this is Jesus. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So here's what we see. We see forgiveness of sins and healing in the same verse. Right? So this is an Old Testament passage, and some people might get hung up on that. Well, that's Old Testament, you know. That's Old Testament passage, but the New Testament quotes this verse, and it confirms the principle and the truth behind it. So 1 Peter 2:24 says, "So who himself," that's Jesus again, "who himself bore our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, for by whose stripes you were healed." Okay. That word healed in the original language is the word sozo. So, okay, if I teach for a little bit, it's the word sozo, okay? That word in the original language means to be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Sozo. To be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. It says here, we see it in Scripture, he bore our sins. Again, the first part of Psalm 103, it's easy to believe. He forgives all my sins. We know because he bore all of our sins. So the question is, if you're a believer, do you believe that Jesus bore your sins on the cross? Yes, right? Here's the follow-up. Do I also believe that he bore my sickness on the cross? Let's look at God's word, right? Let's find out what it says. That's why we're here, not to hear from me, but to look at God's word. Isaiah 53, let's go to verse 4 now. Let's back up one verse. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Okay, so borne our griefs. Well, Pastor Dan, that doesn't say sickness. Hear me. The Hebrew word for griefs means sickness and disease. In fact, we see that word in the original language is 24 times in Scripture. That word griefs in the original language, we see it 24 times in Scripture. Four times it's translated griefs. 20 out of 24 times, 20 times it's translated sickness or disease. 20 times out of 24, that's what it means. In fact, what I love is that the New Testament confirms that by saying, and it quotes this verse, Matthew 8, 16 through 17. When evening had come, they brought to him all who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word. And he healed all, everybody say all. He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities, and he bore our sicknesses. See, he quotes the verse, but it shows you the other translation, sicknesses. So, forgiveness and healing often in the same verse. God's showing us something here. He's showing us something. We see it time and time again. All right, Lord, you're trying to get our attention. Let's lean into it a little bit. So if he bore our sin on the cross as well as our sickness, then why do we still get sick? So let's compare the two then. Why do we still get sick, okay? We believe we know we live in a fallen world, right? I don't have to tell you that we live in an evil world, right? Watch the news. Just look at Facebook and you'll see how people treat each other. We live in a fallen, broken, dark world, an evil world, right? Adam and Eve sinned. They invited Satan into this world, gave him authority, and Jesus came back to give us authority back. However, they invited darkness into this world. So we live in a fallen, a corrupt, and evil world. Even though your faith is in Jesus, do you still sin sometimes? Yes, right? I don't, but maybe you do. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. We all do. Not perfect. Now, hear me. I believe in Jesus. Sometimes I still mess up. Sometimes I still sin. Right? However, I could also ask you this. Since you've believed in Jesus, have you also found freedom from some of the sins that you used to commit? Yes. Right? Have you been set free from an addiction or something that you used to always go back to or something you just couldn't shake? You found freedom from it and you're doing better. Yes. So Lord, help me explain this. We've found freedom from sin, even though sometimes I still get some sin on me because I live in a fallen world, okay? Let me keep going and I'll explain the two together. We live in a fallen, corrupt, evil world. Even though your faith is in Jesus, do you still get sick sometimes? Yes. Why? Because it's God's will for you to be sick? No. Because we live in a fallen world and it's all around us. And it's constantly, as a believer, sin first, but sickness as well. It's constantly trying to get on you. Constantly. Why? Because it wants to tear you from the presence of God. That's the goal of darkness. Consume, steal, kill, and destroy. That is the darkness in this world. So hear me this, though. Though I may still sin from time to time, what do? I run to the Father and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me walk free from this moving forward. Help me learn from my mistakes. When I get sick, what do? I should run to the Father and say, Lord, I need your healing power to flow through my body right now. Lord, I need your help. You paid a price for this. You bore my sin and my sickness on the cross. Lord, I need access to that. Would you help me walk in the fullness of your healing in Jesus' name? I run to the Father. God's will is that even though we live in a fallen world, we have freedom from sin, and we do have freedom from sickness, even though it is constantly trying to get its hands on us. But I've got to have the perspective of the kingdom and of how God sees it and the price that he paid. I'm going to explain this more as we continue on here. But Jesus, according to scripture, we just saw it. Jesus bore our sins and our sicknesses on the cross. But because sin and sickness is still present in this world, even as a believer, we sometimes fall under the power of those things. Sometimes. That doesn't mean that it's God's will forever or that he willed it upon you. That doesn't mean that God's desire is that for sin to control your life. No, he paid a price for that. That doesn't mean that his desire is for sickness to control your life. No, he paid a price for that. But sometimes it means that if I'm facing a sin that I can't get past or a sickness that I can't get over, it means that it's time to go to battle against those things. If I'm facing an addiction or a sin that I can't get past, what do? Just, well, I guess I'm always going to be far from God. No, I address it. I get surrounded by like-minded believers who are going to encourage me to get better. I have accountability. I get in community. And in doing so, I get in God's word and I build my faith to get past that sin. That's how we approach sickness. When I start to get sick, if something happens, what do? I get in God's word. I surround myself with faith-filled believers who are going to point me to Jesus and build my faith so I can get past this. It's time to go to battle. Now, I will say this. My message today is more so focused on receiving healing, not ministering healing to other people. I realize after studying this, we're going to have to get into that very soon. However, today, I can't answer every single question, but I am going to answer these big questions so we understand how can I receive healing in my body or for a loved one here today? How can I do that? So here's an important thing to note before I move on to the next question. Scripturally, it says Jesus bore our sins and our sicknesses on the cross. Here's what that means. It means that he took the penalty of it. Amen? He took the penalty of it. Do we understand that? He took the penalty of it. So let me set somebody free really quick. If you're battling sickness right now, it's not God punishing you for your sins. If you're a believer, if you're battling sickness right now, it's not him punishing you for your sins. Why? I talked about this last week. If he did that, he would no longer be a righteous and a just God. Because he doesn't charge twice for the sin. So as soon as I put my faith in Jesus, he cannot charge me for that sin. Otherwise, he would be charging two people, and that's not just. He said, I will take all of the penalty of the sin and sickness, I put it on my son. So anytime I start to feel a lie from the enemy saying, well, God's just punishing you because you're just not good enough. If I'm a believer, I can shut that mouth and shut that lie down immediately and say, no, my God's a righteous judge. My God's a good father. Jesus paid for my sin and my sickness on the cross. The Lord, devil, I don't receive that. The Lord has healed me in Jesus' name. I don't receive this sickness. I put my faith in the finished work of Jesus and believing his word over the lies of the enemy. You see what I'm saying? Don't listen to that lie from the enemy. Don't listen to that lie from the enemy. We do not see that in scripture. If he is a just judge, what does he do? He charges. He put all of it on his son, Jesus. So that you could go free. Now, once again, why are we still sick? Because we live in a fallen world, and then sometimes it's still going to try to get on us. And sometimes it's going to be a fight to get past. But guess what? God has equipped us. He's called us good soldiers in the New Testament. He's given us the armor of God in the New Testament. Why? Must be a fight coming. Amen? we just breeze past these verses and think, oh, I wonder why he's given us armor. That's not very comfortable to lounge in. Because the Christian life isn't for lounging, y'all. The Christian life is a battle. It's a time to go to war. It's springtime in the spirit. And in the Old Testament, that meant it's time to go to war. That means the enemy is going to come against you. And guess what? It's time to suit up and do something about it. Amen? All right, so here, let's continue. How do I receive healing then? How do I receive healing? You guys doing okay? How do I receive healing? Man, it's a good question. So let's go back then. If we're going to compare these two, sin and forgiveness and healing. How do I receive forgiveness of sins? Scripturally, by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8. Let me show you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay? By grace, through faith. I'll say it this way. You're not saved by faith alone. It takes faith, but you're not saved by faith alone. Why? If it was faith alone, you would be tempted. I would be tempted to boast about how great my faith is. If it was faith alone, no grace. If it was just faith, I could say, well, my faith is so great that I made it into heaven. My faith is so great that God answered all my prayers. My faith is so great that I get this and this. Who's the focus? Me. By grace is what? I don't deserve this. But by faith, I'm going to access the grace of Jesus, which allows me to come into his family and come into eternity with him forevermore. Amen? It's by grace through faith, not faith alone, because I could boast in how great my faith is. Anything that's going to point the spotlight on me, that's not good. I'll just leave it at that. So let's look at this then. By grace through faith, I receive his grace by faith. There's two ditches when it comes to salvation. I'll quickly go through this so I can get to the next point. It's two ditches with salvation. There's works. So for every mile of truth, there is 2 miles of ditches, right? Everyone, that's why it's such a fight to stay in the middle of the road. When every mile of truth, there's 2 miles of ditches. The first one is works, meaning this. If I'm good enough, if I try hard enough, if I clean up my life enough, God will reward me with salvation. That's works. It's not biblical. That's not how you get salvation. The other one is grace, all grace, only grace. Meaning I can just say a half-hearted prayer one time, and then I can do whatever I want to do with the rest of my life, and I can never allow the Holy Spirit to change me, never allow God to prune things out of my life, never get past that sin, just keep going back to it, and it's all covered by grace, brother. That's not Jesus. Now, there is grace, but it's grace and truth. So there's two ditches when it comes to salvation. Here's what's interesting. There's also two ditches when it comes to healing and receiving healing, and it's the same. This is fascinating. So there's two ditches. How do I receive healing then? It's by grace through faith. Do I deserve to be healed? I hate to burst your bubble, but no, you don't. I don't. We've all fallen short, according to Scripture. I don't deserve it, but God is gracious enough to say, if you're a part of my family, I will give it to you. Do I deserve salvation? No, but his grace is enough that I can access it by faith. It's the same. Do you see how God puts them together in Scripture all through Old Testament, New Testament to get our attention to say, how did you receive your salvation? Great, now you can receive your healing the same way. It's by grace through faith. So here's the two ditches when it comes to healing. The first one is works. As long as I eat right, work out, go for, run 6 miles every day, I'll be healthy, perfect, and never get sick. That's actually a works mentality. Now, that doesn't mean you don't ever should work out, right? Don't be taking that and running with it. Do I steward my body? Absolutely, that's biblical. Should I go for a walk and work out? Yes, I should. Should I, eat clean food and drink water, this clear thing called water once in a while? Yes, I should. That's biblical. That honors the temple of God, which is your body. So don't hear me in that. But some people get so extreme that they think, I will have perfect health if I do everything perfect. We have a family friend who served his church faithfully for decades. He was eating clean, and he was actually training, running and training for a marathon. And on Thanksgiving, one of the Thanksgivings several years back, he had a stroke. Faithful man. And he survived, but he lost the majority of his speech. And this was years ago. And Leslie and I just ran into him the other day at lunch. And it's tough. Because in our mind we think he deserves healing. He was doing everything right. He was eating right, he was drinking water, he was running and training for a marathon, he's doing everything right. It's not works by which we get our health. Health is a gift from God. And because we live in a fallen world, he had a stroke. And he's still, and not that we have stopped praying for healing, we're still praying for healing and believing for healing, but I'm here to tell you, you probably know people who did everything right according to the book, but something still happened and they still passed away early. Why? Because it's not all works. It's not all works. But here's the other extreme. It's not all faith. Faith is the catalyst by which God's power is released, absolutely. But it's not all faith, meaning this. I can just eat anything I want, never go for a walk, never get my heart rate up, never work out, and if I get sick, I'll just pray and God will heal me. Have I done my part? Have I stewarded my body in a way? Because I don't know if you know this, God created our bodies to heal themselves. It's an amazing organism, okay? Have I stewarded my temple in a way that I can confidently go before the throne and say, Lord, I've done my part. I'm believing you're going to do yours. I've done my part in the natural. Lord, would you touch my body in the supernatural? See, it's not all works. I'll just be perfect. And it's not all just faith. Faith and works together, though, in the middle of the road is great. That's where God wants us to be. But let me set you free with this. Sometimes you may have come up and got, not here, but you may have had somebody pray for you at one point, and they said, they prayed and they prayed and prayed, and you're still sick. And they say, well, if you had enough faith, you'll be healed. Anybody ever said that to you? You ever heard that said? If you had enough faith, you'll be healed. Well, you just need to have more faith, brother. Oh, man. Scripture says these signs will follow those that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Scripture says, are you sick? Call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith will raise you up. Here's why people say that to you. Well, you just need to have more faith. They're embarrassed that their prayer of faith didn't work, so they're pawning it off on you. These signs will follow those that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, how come they said you need to have more faith? Shouldn't they have more faith? Don't let the enemy kick your butt with somebody that's misrepresenting God to you. Jesus often said, your faith has made you well. Faith is the catalyst by which the power of God is released. Hear me, I'm not saying faith is not required. Faith is very much required. However, it's not all works. If I do everything right, I'm the focus. And it's not all grace. Well, I can only drink sugar drinks and sodas and never water, and if I get sick, God will heal me. It's not all faith and it's not all works, but there's a middle ground that is a beautiful place for us to live, just like our salvation, that it's not all grace and it's not all just truth and works. Here's what it is. It's the middle of the road, and that's where Jesus is. So there's two extremes. There's faith and there's works. You're not healed because you just have enough faith or just because you do everything perfectly. Here's why. We don't have perfect faith. It's being perfected. I can build my faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and I don't have perfect actions. Here's why that's important. This is good news because even if I acknowledge those two facts, you can be healed by grace through faith, both of them together. Do you see what I'm saying? You, even though it's not one or the other, it is both. And through that, it is a gift. By grace, through faith, I can access healing. That's what we see in the life of Jesus. There's a dad that comes to Jesus, and he's praying, and he's like, Lord, help me. And Jesus says, all things are possible for those that believe. And his response is, I believe. Help my unbelief. And if that's not the most relatable prayer I've ever heard in my life, I believe, Lord. I'm seeing your word says that you heal all, that you do it all. Help my unbelief. Help me where I'm at, God, because I don't have perfect faith. I'm trying and I'm growing and I don't have perfect works. I'm going to mess up tomorrow or sometime in the future, and I'm going to run to you no matter what, whether I'm sick or whether I'm in sin. I'm going to run to you, God. You're my Father. But in doing so, I need his grace access through faith. That's where salvation is. Which leads me to healing. Does that make sense? Luke 5, verse 23, Jesus said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say rise up and walk? Once again, we see what? Forgiveness and healing together, once again, in the same verse. Many times, we spend all of our time asking God questions. God, why? Why didn't it work out? Why haven't you moved? Why haven't you answered? Why haven't you done something? God, why? God, how? How are you going to do this? How are you going to answer that prayer? We're asking God all these questions. And I think many times God wants us to stop and listen for the questions that he's asking. I think Jesus is still asking, which is easier? Which is easier for our God? This isn't grammatically correct, but both. Both are easier. Doesn't mean that it was easy, but it means that for God to do it now is easier, both. It bankrupt heaven to forgive your sins, and Jesus took stripes on his back so you could walk in healing. However, God still today forgives all of my sins, and he can and he will heal all my diseases. He has not changed. Which is easier, son? Which is easier, daughter? Lord, for you, they're both easy. So I put my faith in that. And I may not understand why, and I may not understand how, but I'm trusting that you will do what your word says that you want to do. We need to remind ourselves that health is a gift from God. It's like forgiveness. It's a gift from God. It's amazing how we'll pray for healing when crisis happens, but we usually fail to pray for and thank God for health when all is going good. When's the last time I prayed for health before someone got sick? Right? It's always crisis. I'm sick. I feel the sniffles coming on. Somebody's in the hospital. It's crisis mode. Let's pray. What if we begin to practice every day thanking him for his benefits? Lord, I thank you that today I'm forgiven. And I don't listen to the lie of the enemy that comes and tries to bring past mistakes up. No, I'm shut the mouth. I'm forgiven. Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. I walk in complete health today. You may be hurting. You may be sick, but you can begin to speak. Lord, I thank you that I walk in perfect health. I have complete health today. I receive your benefit in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you crown me. Lord, I thank you that you pull me out of the pit. We're going to get to those in the next few weeks. I wonder if I begin to speak these things every day. I wonder how things would change because life and death is in the power of the tongue. How do we receive them? We receive by grace through faith. Lord, I believe. Help me receive. Lastly is this. What do we do now? What do we do now? Again, I know this message can't answer every question, but I'm trying to answer the big ones to give you a foundation that you will take those note-taking cards home and get in your Bible and get on your face and say, Lord, would you reveal your heart to me? Would you reveal truth to me? And watch how he'll show up at your house this week. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. What do we do now? Right? What do I do if I need healing? Here's what you do. You look to the Lamb. Look to the Lamb. Okay? You must be fully convinced of the sacrifice Jesus made for your healing on the cross. Fully convinced, that's faith. I'm fully convinced of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me on the cross. Let me explain, what does it mean? Look to the Lamb. In the Old Testament, people would come to the temple and they'd bring a perfect, spotless lamb. And the priest would look at it and examine it to make sure that the lamb was a proper sacrifice, that it fit the right criteria to get people what they were asking for. And the people were bringing a lamb because they had sinned. And the priest was looking to the lamb to ensure that the sacrifice was acceptable so the people could receive from God what they were asking for. Here's the good news. Jesus is the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. John 1:29. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and he said, see, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You didn't have to show up with a lamb today. You don't have to go to the temple with a lamb anymore. You have this perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God who was sacrificed on your behalf so that you can have access to the fullness of God's kingdom. So, Jesus was sacrificed. His life was sacrificed for your sins and for your healing. Here's the good news today. When you go to God in prayer and you need healing or you're going for somebody else, God's not looking at you to see if you're worthy. I'm going to lift some weight off of you today. When you go to God in prayer, God's not going to look at you and see if you're worthy, to see if you're good enough, or to see if you deserve it, because we don't. But by his grace, oh man, by his grace, he's looking to see that the Lamb is acceptable so you can receive what you're asking for. He's not looking, are you worthy? He's looking at the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus, which speaks a better word and is still alive and working today. And he says, yes, that is sufficient for what you're asking for. That is sufficient for forgiveness of sins. That's sufficient for healing. The Lamb, Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, enough to clear a way for you to receive forgiveness of sins as well as complete physical healing. Amen, somebody. This is why it's a serious thing when we say, well, God doesn't heal anymore. He doesn't really do that anymore. It's a serious thing. Because if we criticize healings, we can easily, without even knowing it, be saying that Jesus' sacrifice as the perfect Lamb of God was not sufficient enough for him to fulfill Psalm 103. If I criticize it and I say, well, nah, I don't know, that's, somebody just made that up. That doesn't really happen anymore. Without even knowing it, I can be saying the sacrifice of Jesus was not sufficient enough for me to receive what I'm asking my perfect Heavenly Father for and for him to fulfill Psalm 103, which he came to fulfill. Amen. I'm going to take a moment here. I know this is going long, but I don't apologize for it going long. Let me just make that clear. Because somebody in here, multiple people in here, you're going to receive healing today. God's going to touch your body today. He's going to heal your mind today. I promise you. I want to share a story with you from our church. There's no way this can be manufactured. Oh, Lord. Help me get through it. I'm going to share the story of Callum. This is a story of Sadie, who's our church coordinator, her and her husband, Jared. This is their little one. I had Sadie write out this testimony because it is a miracle. And it shows you everything that we just talked about. So let me share this story with you. It says this. This is Sadie writing. It says, when Jared and I learned we were expecting a baby, our hearts swelled with excitement. As the pregnancy progressed, everything seemed to be going smoothly until our 20-week appointment with the fetal medicine doctor. During a routine ultrasound, our joy turned to concern as the doctor noticed a potential issue with Callum's kidney. We were asked to return for a follow-up appointment 12 weeks later, leaving us anxious and relying on our faith to carry us through. At our follow-up appointment, we received unexpected news. While Callum's kidney showed no cause for concern, fluid was detected around his heart, a condition known as high drops, which with daunting implications for his health. High drops has a mortality rate of 60 to 90%. Rushed to the hospital, we faced the possibility of an emergency C-section at 32 weeks due to Callum's fragile condition. We prayed fervently for his well-being, surrounded by our pastor, his wife Leslie, our family, and our medical team who shared our faith. Despite the odds, Callum remained stable, and my labor ceased. As we awaited his arrival, the NICU doctor joined us in prayer, acknowledging the mystery of God's plan. In the early hours of the morning, as we anticipated labor, a sudden turn of events left us in awe. An ultrasound revealed that the 7 millimeters of fluid around Callum's heart had vanished without explanation, leaving the medical team baffled and us rejoicing in God's miraculous intervention. Callum's birth a month later was healthy. He was a strong baby boy, and he was a testament to God's grace and his healing power. His story shared among nurses and doctors is a testament to the faithfulness of our God. Today, Callum thrives as a symbol of hope and a reminder of the miraculous power of prayer. All glory and honor belong to our faithful God. That's worth celebrating. Doctors can't explain it, except that God worked. God moved. So what do we do if we need healing? We pray, we believe, we align our words with God's word. What do we do now? We look to the Lamb. It's not on me, but is the sacrifice sufficient? Yes, it is. Here's the second part of what do we do now. What do we do if we pray and nothing changes? What do we do if we pray and healing isn't experienced? Because maybe you prayed and you faced disappointment. Maybe you prayed and your heart was broken. Maybe you prayed and nothing happened. Maybe you believed and somebody still died. Can I tell you, you're not alone. Me too. See, the tough thing about being a pastor is sometimes you go to the hospital and you pray for precious unborn babies, and God moves and he heals and you celebrate. Sometimes you go to the hospital and you go to the ICU and you pray for people and nothing changes. So what do we do? I want you to know, I don't just get up here and preach this message lighthearted like we've never been through stuff. Leslie and I, we have two precious babies in heaven waiting for us that we never met. We've been standing and believing for 9 years for stuff to change in our life that hasn't happened yet. So I want you to know that I may not know your pain specifically, but I do know pain, and I can be in there with you. I can understand. So what do? We have two options. We have these moments when our experience doesn't line up with God's word. We have two options. You can require that your experiences rise to the standard of God's word. That's the correct option. Or you can lower your standard for how you pray to match your life experience. Well, we prayed then and nobody got healed, so we're never going to pray again for healing. And here's the problem. If you lower your standard to match your experiences, it's going to be a tough life, because you take God off your throne of your life and you become your own Lord of your life. Here's why I say that. Because you're not believing God's word anymore as the standard. This isn't on the throne of your life. Your life experiences are the standard. So you've taken him off the throne. You put your life experiences up there, and it's going to be a very rough life. So what do? This is easy to say. It's difficult to do sometimes. We will trust God's word no matter what. We will trust God's word no matter what. And the big question is when you don't always understand why, will you still trust God? When you don't understand why it's taking longer, why they didn't make it, why we lost them, will you still trust God? And our drive is to let his word be the standard for our lives. And this is a most relatable story, and I'll close here. In John 6, there's a story of Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's saying some pretty tough things to them. And in John 6, verse 66, it says this: at this point, many of his disciples turned away and they deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and he asked, are you guys going to go too? Are you boys out too? Simon Peter replied, Master, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life, and we believe them, and we know you are the Holy Son of God. Where else would we go? And if you've been through stuff, and if you've prayed for things to change, you prayed for healing, and it didn't work out, you've been in this moment before, where the enemy comes in and he says, you still gonna believe this? You prayed and nothing changed. You still gonna believe? You've been praying for 10 years and nothing's changed. You still gonna believe? Where most people would turn their back on a loving heavenly father who bankrupt heaven on their behalf and leave and desert their savior. My prayer is that we would get to a point and we'd have some fire in here to say, God, to whom would I go? Where would I go? Only you have the words to eternal life. And my prayer is that we, as a body of believers, and anyone listening to this message, that you would choose to keep trusting. It's not easy, I know. Choose to keep trusting. Man, I'm hurting, but I'm going to keep believing. I don't know why, but I'm going to keep growing, and I'm tired, but I'm going to keep walking. Friend, God told me to tell you today that your miracle is closer than you think. Your miracle is closer than you think. You may have been struggling for years. It's closer than you think. Today's your day. You may have been battling, and maybe for you, it's because you lost somebody and you have heartbreak that you haven't been past. You haven't moved past. Your miracle of being healed of your heartbreak, it's available today. You're closer than you think you are. Don't turn away now. Keep walking, keep believing, keep trusting, keep growing. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna end the service and we're gonna open the altar. And if today you need healing today, I'm gonna ask you to have some bold faith and come down here and let us believe with you and watch God move in your life. if you need prayer for anything, we're going to pray for you. But if you need healing, if you need healing in your spirit for your salvation, we're going to pray for you. I promise you, God's going to move today. In fact, would you stand to your feet before I dismiss? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray, and then I'll give you some instructions. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we submit our lives to you, Lord. Today, we exalt your word above any other word. No matter what word's been spoken against us over our bodies from a doctor, Lord, no matter what diagnosis we might have been given, today we declare that your word is true, every man a liar. And God, we just tap into the benefits you've offered to us, God. I pray that today, if there's anyone in here that doesn't have faith in you and is not walking with you, have salvation, Lord, I pray that you would draw them close so we can pray with them. I pray that if there's anyone in here today that's dealing with pain in their body, sickness, disease, organ issues, Lord, I pray for anything that might be going on, arthritis, whatever it might be. Lord, I pray that today you are going to move because we're going to access the benefits. Lord, you said you would heal all our diseases, and that's where we'll put our faith today. No matter what a life experience we've been through, God, I thank you that today there is healing, there is salvation available through the blood of Jesus and through your sacrifice. That's where we put our faith, not in our own works, not in how great our faith is, but by grace and through faith, we receive the benefit of healing today in Jesus' holy name. Everyone said, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Abide Church podcast. If you'd like to partner with us financially, or if you're in the Tulsa area and would like to attend our weekly gathering, you can check out abidechurch.com.